You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 19th of April 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got a scandal that's hitting the Church of England today. We've got all these accusations that the Anglican Church is racist. This is a church which has black vicars, it has black churches in Africa. It welcomes transsexuals, it allows homosexuals to claim that they are married within the church. I think they may offer them blessings, although they may not quite allow them to get married in there. It's a particularly left-leaning religious institution that has even has black bishops, some very famous black bishops that they actually have, who were actually on the television over the weekend with the Duke of Edinburgh's funeral. So to then be accusing them of racism, I find this really quite surprising. Some ethnic minority staff who made complaints of racism within the Church of England have been paid off to buy their silence, BBC Panorama has been told. And again, I'm very surprised that Panorama is still actually going after Tommy Robinson exposed them for making stories up out of whole cloth and paying people to tell lies about the subject matter of the documentaries. They were working hand in hand with Hope Not Hate. I mean, really, Hope Not Hate should have been disbanded after the expose that Tommy Robinson did. But apparently the programme is still going, even though it's been completely discredited. Dr. Elizabeth Henry, the church's former advisor on race relations, said some of those who received compensation had to sign non-disclosure agreements. Well, that seems pretty sensible to me. If you've got somebody that is accusing somebody else of being racist and you have an investigation into it and you can't come to an agreement, you can't say that the person was definitely being racist, but you still pay some compensation to the alleged victim. Well, the last thing you want is that alleged victim to then be accusing the other person of being a racist, because then the other person could have their home attacked, they could lose their bank account, they could lose their job, all sorts of terrible things could happen to the person that's been accused of being a racist. It's worse to be accused of being a racist now than it is to be accused of being a rapist. So you would expect there to be a non-disclosure agreement if you weren't able to actually ascertain whether the person had been racist or not. I mean, it just seems sensible to me. If there's a court case and you can't decide what the outcome of it is, then surely you shouldn't be allowed to then continue to say that the person is guilty. And this is a way of preventing that, is to get these alleged victims to sign a non-disclosure agreement. After 7 years in her job, Dr. Henry retired last year due to feeling disillusioned. I felt frustrated by the lack of progress with issues of racism, she tells Panorama. She says one incident from 2019 particularly stood out. And they're talking about this on the news today. This is the incident that they're really honing in on. A really shocking incident. It was a young black man who received a picture of a banana, but that banana had his head superimposed upon it. And underneath it, it said, "Banana Man." That is a deeply offensive and deeply racist image. He took it to HR and he did file a grievance. And the decision was that it wasn't racist. That person left and he received a very small compensation. However, he was forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Well, let's just look at this. On the face of it, you could say that this was offensive. It was a picture of a black man on a picture of a banana. But they decided that it wasn't racist. So obviously there is a context to this that we are not being told. It could be that the young black man particularly liked eating bananas. He may have had a banana in his packed lunch every day, or every time you saw him, he may have been there eating a banana. And the completely innocent members of the Church of England may have called him Banana Man or something similar because he was always eating bananas. And they would have thought nothing of making an image like this. It could have been done completely innocently without a racist bone in their body. And it probably was something like that because the tribunal decided that this wasn't racism. And you can just imagine some old church ladies doing something like this and thinking, well, it's very funny. He eats bananas all the time, so we'll call him Banana Man and we'll superimpose his face on a banana. Could have been done completely innocently. And yet, if he had then gone out and accused these innocent people of being racist, that they could have been attacked, they could have been physically attacked, all sorts of terrible things could have happened to them. So you've always got to look at the context of this. And I bet it was something like that, because the church is going to be very keen to show that it is anti-racist. And the way to show that it is anti-racist is for them to come out with instances of racism that they can then denounce. So it's not like the church will have been trying to cover things up like this. They will be wanting to find as many instances of it as they can, exactly the same as the police do with their instances of hate. When there is no crime that has actually occurred, and they still record these instances of hate so that they can say, look, we're anti-racist and we're fighting against hate. Look at all these thousands of instances we've found of people hating. And it's going to be the same for the church. They're going to be looking for instances that they can actually call racist. So the chances of this actually being a racist incident are pretty much zero. But of course, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to portray it as these terrible racists in the church. They superimposed the picture of the black person on a banana. The agreement means the BBC cannot say where the incident took place. The total number of non-disclosure agreements is also unknown. Again, well, this is good because you don't want the people involved to be attacked, which is why people expose these so-called racists or people that have said things that were quite polite to have said a couple of decades ago, but now apparently show that you hate other races. So it's quite sensible that the BBC is not able to say where this took place. But the fact that they can't actually say the context of this shows that they're just trying to sensationalise things here. The church told Panorama that while it can't comment on individual cases, any racist behaviour of the sort described by Dr. Henry is unacceptable. And of course, that's because they're not given the context of this. If it was just taken alone and they would say, well, somebody superimposed the head of a black man on a banana, then they could say, well, that was trying to be offensive. That was saying that the black man, maybe that the black man looked like a monkey or something because he eats bananas. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the logic is, but apparently there is that they do see bananas being associated with blacks as being racist. But considering it was someone from the church, I doubt very much whether they would have realised that. It added confidentiality agreements are only used in exceptional circumstances where open processes may not have reached resolution. Again, there you go, because they haven't been able to decide whether any racism occurred, they've got the alleged victim to sign a confidentiality agreement so that the person that has been accused of it doesn't get attacked. I mean, it is just common sense that you would do this. Brazilian-born Peterson Feital was a trainee vicar when he was hired by a church in London with a mainly white, middle-class congregation. His task was to reach out to diverse communities who don't normally attend church. And for a couple of years, Peterson thrived. And we'll just stop there. What was the point in that? You have a church which is frequented by mainly white middle-class people. Why don't they provide a white middle-class vicar for them? Why do they provide somebody who is not white and then tell him to bring as many non-whites as he can into the church? What good is that going to do? Why didn't they put him in an already diverse church? Why did they stick him in the middle of a white church? Of course, it's going to be awkward for him, isn't it? And when the vicar who hired him left, Peterson says his life became very difficult. He says he was told by his new manager, "Your English is not very good. I don't like your preaching, and you are too Brazilian in your compassion. You are not very coherent. People of my kind, of my colour, are just not clever enough." So what's wrong with that? And are you saying that the church has to put up with a preacher and they can't understand what he is saying because he's not English, because he's Brazilian, because his accent is too strong for them to understand? Are they saying that just to say that you don't like somebody's preaching style, that is now racist? That's not racist, is it? Really, what they're saying here is, if people don't like something about somebody that is non-white, then they can just accuse that person of being motivated by racism, when quite clearly this isn't motivated by racism. This is just based on the fact that they couldn't understand what he's saying. And the person that's saying it is being very self-effacing as well. He says, "People of my kind, of my colour, are just not clever enough." So he's saying that he's putting the blame on himself. He's saying the congregation are not clever enough to be able to understand your accent. They're not clever enough to be able to understand Brazilian. He says one day the manager came into his office and told him, "Peterson, you have got to find a job with people of your kind. If the London Diocese is going to give you a job, it is going to be for a diversity show. They're going to give it to you for a short period of time, and then they're going to drop you, like they always do." Again, he's trying to help the guy out here. He is saying, look, you need to find a job in a Brazilian church where people can understand what you are saying. Otherwise, you're going to end up losing your job here because you're not very popular with the parishioners because they can't understand what you're saying. But of course, Peterson assumes that it must be racism here and that the church should be forced to endure going to a church where they can't actually understand what the vicar is saying. Over a period of 7 years, Peterson says he repeatedly complained to senior staff at the Diocese of London about the racism and bullying he experienced. I mean, how is that bullying? The people that are talking to him about this are trying to help him out. They're trying to say, look, you need to find people of your own that are going to really warm to you and be able to understand what you're saying, because otherwise you're going to end up losing your job here because the parishioners aren't happy. I mean, they're being perfectly decent to this Peterson. He says he was told to keep his head down. No one is going to be able to prove there is any racism, and that if he created a problem, you're not going to get a job anywhere. Well, again, that is just common sense, isn't it? If you're going to create problems where there aren't any problems, and you're going to blame racism when no racism exists, then that is creating a problem, isn't it? I mean, I can't see that it's racist to say to somebody, we can't understand what you're saying because of your accent. In March 2021, after 10 years in the Church of England, Peterson's contract wasn't renewed. He was given a £2,000 redundancy payment, and he is now out of work and claiming benefits. So there you go. And they tried to prevent that from happening. They said to him, look, try and find a Brazilian church and you'll be able to keep your job. But he refused to do that. And now he wants to claim the church was being racist. Quite clearly, he wants to get more money out of them. The Diocese of London says, we are appalled at what Peterson has experienced. We have spoken with Peterson regarding the process for bringing formal complaints against those involved. And I bet the people that these complaints are against are just absolutely aghast at this. I bet they thought they were trying to actually help this Brazilian out. They were trying to help him to keep his job within the church, giving him good advice. In the Church of England, 1 in 25 serving clergy come from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds. And I wonder how many actual Church of England members in England actually come from black, Asian and minority ethnic backgrounds. I think most of the black Caribbean community. I think they tend to go to evangelical churches. Most of the Asian community are Muslim or Hindu. I bet the actual number of black, Asian and minority ethnics that actually go to the Church of England is probably only about 1 in 25 anyway. You would have to check that to see if they were proportionally represented there. You certainly shouldn't just look at the percentage of them in the population and say that's how many of them should be there in the church. That's if you were concerned about those things. Michelle Delves is of mixed race heritage and a curate in Hartlepool, but when she enrolled in 2016 at Cranmer Hall, a Bible college in Durham, she says she wasn't prepared for the reality of life within the Church of England. When I got there, I have never felt as black and as poor. I felt like I'd landed on an alien planet, says Michelle. And so what is she saying here? Well, she's saying that most of the people that went there were affluent. They were probably well off, and she wasn't well off. And the people that were there would have been bending over backwards to appear not to be racist. They would have been trying not to see race at all, whereas this Michelle is wanting them to see race because she's wanting them to make special provisions for her. She's wanting them to make exceptions for her. This is the problem with this. She says here that she felt black, but what is she going to suggest as the solution to this? And it will be that she gets special treatment for being black, basically. Michelle says she was frequently ignored and treated differently, which she believes was due to racism. Well, what about the others there? Did any of the others there feel like they were being ignored or treated differently? How was she treated differently here? She doesn't actually say. After being frustrated by lack of action when she complained, she wrote to the Archbishop of Canterbury, as she felt no one was listening. So she went right to the top of the organisation here. The thing that really scares the pants off me about this institutional racism is that you don't know it is happening to you, she says. So she's not going to tell us what it is, and she's going to say that she didn't actually know that it was happening to her, and yet she's written to the Archbishop of Canterbury right at the top, and in response to her note, the Archbishop's office told Michelle of their anger on hearing about her experience, saying much more needs to be done about institutional racism in the church. So she can't actually say what this institutional racism is. She takes it right to the top of the church, and right at the top of the church, they listen to her and they respond to her. So how can she claim that the church is being racist and she's being treated differently? I guess she is being treated differently because she's being paid attention to. I wonder how many white students that were at this college would have got a response if they'd written to the Archbishop. Cranmer Hall told Panorama it is deeply sorry and saddened to hear Michelle's story. It says that because Michelle didn't make a formal complaint while at the college, they were not able to investigate. But if she is willing to talk to them now, they will explore her concerns thoroughly. So clearly she didn't say anything to the appropriate authorities at all. She just wrote straight to the Archbishop. So perhaps maybe if she had actually gone to the college about her concerns, that they may have been able to help her out. Over the past 35 years, there have been 20 reports examining racism within the Church of England, between them making more than 160 recommendations. Stephen Cottrell, the Archbishop of York, the second most senior bishop in the church, says while some changes have been made, there is still a lot more to do. It is simply the case that ethnic minority people are underrepresented and disadvantaged in many of the structures and systems of our church. Well, they could always go abroad to some of these black churches, couldn't they, where they're 100% black. They could go out there to Africa and take the training that they have had in England back to the place of their ethnic heritage, and I'm sure they would improve the lives of the people in the church over there. Maybe they'd be able to set them a good example. They would be well up to date and understanding how things work in the Western world, and they wouldn't be underrepresented then, and they wouldn't be disadvantage then. The fact is that they're living in a country that was built by white people, going to a church that was built by white people, going to a church that is actually called the Anglican Church, which is the Anglican, meaning the people that are blood related to the Angles, and they've been welcomed in there, and then they are complaining that they are underrepresented, and I doubt that they are underrepresented, and if they are, that won't be because the church hasn't reached out to them and tried to get as many black and minority ethnics in there as they possibly can. They're the same as all the other institutions that are bending over backwards, trying to get as many non-whites into the institutions as possible. And they will be lowering the standards in order to do that. That is simply the only way that you can do it, is by lowering the standards. So they're already doing their best, and the BBC are quite clearly just looking for people to accuse of being racist here, to accuse the Church of England, probably the most non-racist institution on the planet, of racism. I mean, that really does take some cheek. And this comes on top of the report last week that announced that there was no institutional racism in Britain. None at all. Which, of course, the left immediately attacked. But they will have been including the Church of England in that when they said that. Moving on to the next news story here. Race activists are urging candidates in the upcoming London mayoral elections to adopt black manifesto policies to tackle so-called systemic racism in areas such as criminal justice and health. Again, it's as if this report that showed that there was no systemic racism, it's as if it just doesn't exist. And what would people think if people were lobbying the London mayoral candidates to adopt white manifesto policies to tackle anti-whiteness? Of course, they would be accused of being racists straight away. And these race activists are trying to make everything about blacks. And of course, that's what Black Lives Matter means, doesn't it? It means everything has to be about blacks. We can no longer have a meritocracy. We can no longer be colorblind. We just have to do everything to appease the black community. In an open letter to candidates noting that the whole world was rocked by the Black Lives Matter movement in 2020, with society forced to hold a mirror up to itself and confront its deep-rooted issues with systemic racism and unconscious bias, the All Black Coalition said that candidates vying for the position of London mayor, currently held by Labour's Sadiq Khan, should implement policies from a black community manifesto. And again, this is in a country that was built by whites, the capital city that was built by whites, London. And they claim that the candidates have deep-rooted issues with systemic racism and unconscious bias. Are they accusing Sadiq Khan, who is non-white, of systemic racism and unconscious bias here? Almost 1 year on, and change has begun, but is not yet far-reaching enough, especially in the most important and influential systems in the UK, i.e. the criminal justice system, the education system, the health system, and the business sector, despite the apparent empathy shown by huge swathes of people across the country in numerous sectors, the letter declared, urging the candidates to adopt such policies as radical anti-racism and unconscious bias training for all police officers. So let's just break this down here. So they are saying that the change hasn't been far-reaching enough in the criminal justice system. And what is the discrepancies here with the criminal justice system? Well, black people are far more likely to be in prison than whites, about 3 times more likely to be in prison. Black people are far more likely to be arrested for a crime. And this isn't because the police are not going after white people who commit crimes. The police are actually far less likely to go after blacks that have committed crimes, because there is a high chance of them then being accused of racism, or if something unfortunate happens while they're trying to arrest the black criminal, we can see the same thing happening over here in Britain as we see happening to Derek Chauvin over in America at the moment. So this is the reason why there is this discrepancy. And what they mean by making changes here is telling the judges that they just simply shouldn't be jailing black criminals because they may have experienced racism That may have been what it was that put them on the course to becoming a criminal. Of course, all we have to do is look at black countries like in Africa or Haiti or even just black cities in America to see that black people are just more likely to commit crimes. It's got nothing to do with white people being racist. And they are trying to make these changes. They have told the magistrates that if they have black criminals that are under the age of 18, that they shouldn't jail them. They should not give them custodial sentences to try and get the numbers down. The second one they point out here, the education system. Well, what are they doing in the education system to level up the changes? Well, what they have said is that you no longer need to be able to read and write to get into university. It should not be expected that the student should understand English grammar, and they should not be marked down for not being able to spell or write coherent sentences. I mean, it's just incredible what they're doing here to try and force an unnatural equality there. What are they doing in the health service? Well, in the health service, they have investigated it, and they have said that there is no discrepancy there. Well, certainly not one caused by race. Black people are certainly not being turned away from the hospitals because people don't like the colour black. The discrepancies there in the health service are because blacks are less likely to go into the hospital or go to the doctor. And also they are far less likely to donate organs. They're far less likely to donate blood. So we end up with a long waiting list of black people that need organs. Unless other black people are going to start donating their organs, that waiting list is always going to be longer than the white waiting list. What are they doing here about the business sector? Well, they've said they need to get more diversity into the business sector. But if you end up putting people into high-powered directorship positions simply because of what race they are, then that business is soon going to fail, isn't it? You need to have people with the best qualifications, the very best people at the top of the business sector. So what they're saying here is we need to have diversity quotas in business, which will lead to those businesses failing, of course. Candidates speaking to the Independent about the Black Manifesto adopted an appeasing tone, with Liberal Democrats hopeful Louisa Porritt, a former member of the European Parliament who lost her job after Brexit, saying that her party welcomes the All-Black Coalition's manifesto and stands with them as they keep this important conversation alive. And she also issued the classic, "Diversity is our greatest strength" line. How can it be our greatest strength when it means we have to accept people into university that can't read or write? Conservative Party candidate Sean Bailey too struck an indulgent tone, saying that the manifesto highlights real challenges for our community that I will work at City Hall to address as a priority. I mean, they're really sucking up to them here. None of them pointing out that this means giving black people special treatment and not giving everybody equal treatment. When a young black woman is turned down for a job because she doesn't have the right accent, that shuts down opportunities for everyone. Injustice anywhere, a great American once said, is a threat to justice everywhere, he said. Well, is it? Is it really racist when you say that, we can't give you the job because we can't understand what you are saying? Is that how far we've come now? That we are going to force people into positions where the people working alongside them can't understand, can't communicate with them, out of fear of being accused of being racist for saying you don't understand what somebody is saying? Such pandering has been a steady feature of the London election campaign, with Women's Equality Party candidate Mandu Reid campaigning on a platform of openly defying the national government's already weak immigration controls in order to turn the capital into a so-called sanctuary city for migrants, recommending that they receive free accommodation and financial support, and highlighting crime-ridden Chicago and San Francisco in the United States as role models. Yeah, we'd love to see London looking like Chicago with the crime rate of Chicago, or looking like San Francisco does now with a great homeless tent city that it has there and signs up telling people that they shouldn't be pooping on the sidewalk or leaving their drug paraphernalia everywhere. It's a beacon to the rest of the world, isn't it, Chicago, and San Francisco, a major review commissioned by the British government and led by a black academic recently found that there was no real evidence for institutional racism even existing in the United Kingdom of today, which prompted furious anger from left-wing academics and race activists who have long treated it as an undisputed fact. And they're just going to ignore it, aren't they? They're just going to ignore this report that the government brought out that shows that there is no such thing as institutional racism in Britain. They're just going to pretend that it doesn't exist. And of course, it looks like all these mayoral candidates are going to go along with it too. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.